Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus. What is your idea of the ideal body? Mine has always been the mythic physique depicted in the sword and sandal films that were popular during my childhood. This heroic template was in turn inspired by the Greco-Roman statuary that depicted my Olympian ancestors. Both cinema and sculpture celebrated the mighty ones of old, the doers of great deeds. I'm currently in my early 60s and no longer is able to lift heavy weights as I once did in my youth. However, I am determined to embody and express my ideal physique to the best of my ability for the remainder of my years. You're invited to accompany me on this quest and to share the details of your own journey on our podcasts or on our online groups. Tonight, I'm greatly honored to have with me Michael Del Russi, who has been sharing his quest for years, and some of them here on our station with his podcast, Bold Spirits, Holistic Concepts. Greetings and welcome, Michael. How are you?
Good evening, Hercules. It's great to be with you and the listening audience this evening.
Yes, it is. It is awesome. So I'm looking forward to the topic. It sounds like you're going to cover a lot of territory today.
Yep. This is going to be hopefully the first in a series that I'd like to share with our listeners in terms of food as medicine.
That's awesome.
Be covering a wide-ranging area in terms of vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients, which is, I feel, will be very interesting. And hopefully it will want to encourage the audience to integrate these nutrients into their own dietary and supplement programs. So there's lots of solid science behind it, so I'm looking forward to sharing it.
That's not a new concept, food as medicine, and it's something that many people adhere to, including myself. I know that we have slightly differing opinions on the macronutrients and their source. This should be in our diet, but we agree on a lot. So I'm all ears.
Okay. Well, I'd like to share first, you know, I don't believe it's discussed enough in terms of what the vitamin content is in certain foods when it comes to the strongest antioxidants. So I'd share, like to share with the audience the foods that are high in vitamin A, C, and E, as well as selenium. The foods are almonds, apricots, barley, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, green peppers, cauliflower, carrots, collard greens, kale, red peppers, squash, sweet potatoes, turnip greens, watercress, wheat germ, onions, and garlic. All of these foods are high in vitamin A, vitamin C, E, and selenium. So I think it's good to know where are the most powerful antioxidants, where the food sources are. Green peppers, ironically, studies have shown have the highest intake of vitamin C. Oranges also. We can include oranges we can put oranges on that list as well. So I think everybody should be aware of where our antioxidants are coming from. Also, foods that are high in zinc and B complex are really important to the diet, and that is brewer's yeast, fish, beans, mushrooms, pecans, virtually all seeds, soy lecithin, soybeans, and whole grains. These are some of the foods that are high in zinc and the B complex. So I think it's important to know where our antioxidants, what the food sources are, because with foods also come, with whole foods also come enzymes, and enzymes in and of themselves come mostly from fruits and vegetables, amylase, protease, and lipase. So while I think it's very important to fortify our immune system with isolated nutrients, isolated antioxidants, if you will. As the saying goes, nothing really replaces all the benefits of whole foods. So I think at this time of uncertainty where our health is concerned, we should be doing both as much as possible, utilizing concentrated doses of antioxidants, which we know can, number one, curtail systemic inflammation, and number two, can fight free radical activity in the body, which, of course, affects the vitality of our cells. So it's important to just keep a focus on doing both. Keep our focus on whole foods whenever possible, and keep our focus on antioxidants. And, you know, everyone is waiting for the introduction of vaccine. A lot has been said about it in the last week. But, of course, I would encourage everyone, while we're waiting for the vaccine and while we're leaving our homes to do our jobs and where we're staying home, whatever the case might be, or there's a situation where we're congregating, to leave the house, of course, with a mask, but also leave the house with the knowledge that you've boosted your immune support by ingesting at least three nutrients, that being vitamin C, vitamin D, and zinc. I think they're the most important. If you do nothing else, there's a protocol I recommend with a few more nutrients, but if nothing else, vitamin C, vitamin D3, and zinc have been shown to support the immune system in a way that both can prevent and combat the virus. And I would remind the public again, though it's seldom talked about, that when the president received his drug, the latest drug they were using, they also included in that cocktail melatonin, zinc, and vitamin D3. It's not talked about enough. I don't know why, but that's what brought the president back to vitality, along with the drug, which is a little bit hard to pronounce, remdesivir, I think is the correct...
Something like that, pronounce. Yes.
Yeah, I think, but they're not talking about what else was in that cocktail, and that's what was in that cocktail. And I have to say, the physicians in charge, I have to give them credit because they're up on the latest research concerning melatonin. Most people utilize melatonin for sleep. Now we know the latest research, the last 2 years or so, have indicated it's a very powerful immune booster. It's also very powerful in terms of combating hormone-driven cancers, mostly in women. That's what the studies have shown. It seems to slow the growth of certain breast cancers. So there's been some real breakthroughs in terms of melatonin. So I think everybody should be aware of that. But coming from us to the listening audience, don't leave your home without it, which means don't leave your home without the mask, and don't leave your home without ingesting the right antioxidants, meaning vitamin C, D3, and zinc. So I just wanted to share that with the listeners if I can.
Oh, thank you. That's a great thing. I've been taking, I list my vitamins that I take. I'd stopped everything for except for the basic vitamins. Now I started increasing them because I experienced the digestive upsets. So I didn't know what exactly was causing the digestive upset. So I haven't solved that 100% yet, but I'm almost there. So I just started cutting things out and adding them slowly to see what would happen. So I'm still undergoing that process. But I like dreaming. I don't like not doing anything. So I believe that sleeping, if you remember your dreams, it's like you get other lives that you live every night. I started experimenting with like chamomile, and chamomile is good for relaxing you and helping you sleep. Some use it for dreams. Then I started with melatonin because melatonin also has been used by some people for dreams as well. Currently I haven't been recording this because it doesn't really have anything to do with my diet. For the optimal wellness, but I've been taking melatonin once every 2 or 3 days, 5 milligrams or micrograms, I don't know, but it's right. 5 of them. So far I've been having good MGs. I've been having good experiences with the dream. I haven't noticed any health benefits yet, but it's good to know that it has all those health benefits.
Now, has melatonin, have you reacted positively to melatonin in terms of your sleep? Does it seem to help you sleep better on a nightly basis, or have you not noticed? Okay, all right.
I've noticed that in terms of sleepiness, because I meditate when I wake up and when I go to bed anyway. So usually in the meditation, 10, 15, 20 minutes into it, you know, even if you're not tired, you're going to fall asleep if you let yourself. So I let myself. But on days when I have a lot of heavy mental activity, I found that the chamomile and the melatonin work really well in you know, putting me like in a non-beta state a lot faster than I normally wind up there.
Now, how about your stomach upset? I'm just curious to know, do you think that's coming from certain supplements that you may have been taking, or is that something that you're not certain what the genesis of that is? I'd like to know about that if I can.
My best guess, because I'm drinking a lot of either protein or keto shakes, is that one of the – I don't use the same formulation all the time because, you know, different ones have different vitamins and minerals. And I don't know what'll taste good to me. I don't know what will feel good when I'm, you know, drinking it, what'll keep me full and sustained. So I experiment. So I believe that it's one or more of the powders that I'm using that's causing the problem. And also – one of the thoughts was I was taking so many vitamins every day, and they're all minerals. So they all have minerals in them. So I was thinking that the amount of minerals, you know, that would be in my stomach at any given time would be a lot. So I started tasting them. So instead of taking vitamins once a day, now I take them two or three times a day, but break them up so that they digest better. So far it seems to be helping. And it'll take me a while to isolate the exact powder because, again, I combine them. So I take now I take a multi every day,
right?
And then I take D3 and selenium and zinc every other day or every 3 days, and then I'll take a vitamin C every day, and A and E I'll take maybe once a week. I'll take an extra A and E.
Well, I think you're smart to try to. I think the selenium and zinc are vital, as well as the vitamin C. I think they are just you know, vital nutrients to protect and boost our immune response on a day-to-day basis. Selenium, as recently some new research has uncovered, the benefit of intaking selenium in terms of prostate health. We know that zinc is important for prostate health, as is saw palmetto and beta-cystosterol. But now we're starting to discover that selenium has a very protective effect on the prostate. Of course, along with its overall immune-boosting activity and its ability to curtail free radical activity, along with vitamin E. I remember very vividly back in the 70s, most anti-aging researchers were very high, and still am. The studies still validate this, on the combination of vitamin E complex and selenium in terms of overall longevity. Studies show that those who intake these nutrients on a regular basis, there seems to be a longevity factor involved there, taking into, of course, their lifestyle and what have you. So I think selenium and zinc are critically important in terms of anti-aging nutrients, in terms of what can I do? What can I do in this in small ways, in larger ways, in terms of diet to enhance my longevity? What little steps can I take through my supplementation, through my diet? What we know that our cells are going to be bombarded anyway. No matter how careful we are, our cells are going to age. So what can I do to slow cellular aging? If we just focus on that little meditation on a day-to-day basis, we'll be motivated to take our zinc, we'll be motivated to take our selenium on a daily basis or every other day, as I also sometimes do. I do what you do sometimes. Sometimes I may take it every other day, but I'll make sure that it's my bloodstream, the levels of selenium, zinc, and vitamin C are, you know, where they should be in terms of my bloodstream. So I think it's good, it's wise. Sometimes every other day, that's fine. But the main thing is to make sure that your bloodstream, by and large, is carrying sufficient amounts, because there's no doubt in my mind that these nutrients are critical. And here we are 8 months. Is it 8 months into the pandemic now? It may be 8 months. Still not enough discussion.
Right.
Yeah, not enough discussion in terms of what you can do. You can do right here. You don't have to wait for a vaccine. You know, and I'm, by all means, people who are motivated, their spirit is motivated to take the vaccine, absolutely. By all means, move forward. But there's something very powerful that the public can do right now. And I know that I'm, quite frankly, I'm following my divine intuition again, and the research that I've done over almost 30 years and continue to do through the Life Extension Foundation being one of the prime sources. Take your vitamin C, take your zinc, take your selenium. They're not telling you the way they should, but I certainly will. And those of us who are in the holistic community, Dr. Ronald Hoffman in New York, the Hoffman Center of Alternative Medicine, Holistic Medicine, he certainly has been doing his part for years. I admire him very much. I don't always agree with him on diet, like you. He is a firm believer in keto. In terms of dealing with anything from diabetes to metastatic diseases, I believe keto is the way to go. I am very skeptical on that, so we respectfully disagree on the diet. Mm-hmm. But as far as supplementation and the science, he's right there. So I respect all of the holistic physicians and researchers and consultants in this field who are advising the public what they can easily do now to protect themselves. I admire them all, and I just can't say enough about them.
And that is a good thing. And you're open, very few people I know are, to basically getting information and digesting the information and then modifying what you're doing. So you live in a life of constant experimentation, as do mm-hmm. I. And like I said, several people I know, to know that you don't have the answers and you could just make the best decision you can based on your understanding of the information available to you, and then test things and see what happens and take it from there. And I think I've shared many times that some of the problems that I developed with my diabetes were because I started trying to do something healthy. I was asking myself, how can I get big muscles without taking any of the steroids or any of the very expensive vitamins that were being promoted at the time. So I started reading about what they did back in the day, and they were drinking lots of milk and eggs. They were eating lots of oranges and things like that. So it took me over a year to be able to tolerate that, because I was lactose intolerant.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think at the time, look at all the sugar in the milk, look at all the sugar in the oranges that I'm consuming, and my body just couldn't handle all that sugar hitting it every single day. But it worked for a while, and I had huge muscles until the day when I just started falling downstairs, so.
I completely understand what you're saying. We hear a lot in the bodybuilding community about old school. And I definitely believe mm-hmm. in old school on some levels.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the old school tradition was, the heavy cream diet, very low carbohydrates, high fat. Then, too, a high-fat diet was recommended. And, it worked in terms of putting on size. But it also can contribute down the road to certain other health issues. And I think we're seeing some of that now. Some of the old school bodybuilders are passing away based on what I'm seeing, what I'm receiving, prematurely, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, for all the work they have done over the years, in terms of cardiovascular health and muscular strength and endurance, which is fine. But some of the ones that have passed away recently also engaged in the heavy cream, the heavy fat, high fat, low carbohydrates, no matter what type of carbohydrates you're talking about. As a matter of fact, I recently had an experience, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, an old school bodybuilder who we would share information, and I was admirer of his. He wasn't a big superstar, but fairly well known in the bodybuilding community. I respectfully challenged him on the keto diet, and I said, we need to be careful. We're hearing a lot about the new science. I'm not at all convinced that the new science indicating that high fat is good, I'm not at all convinced that that's the case. And he became very angry with me almost immediately, so much so that another a writer, very famous in the bodybuilding community, came at me. And I responded by saying in my 40, yeah, very nasty, very nasty. And I came back to them by saying in my 40 years in counseling, I have never come across not one case, where a person developed high cholesterol, high LDL, and a high accumulation of plaque in the arteries by consuming mostly a complex carbohydrate diet. I have never seen it, never in 40 years. Secondly, I shared with them the independent studies that show that a high-fat diet still can also contribute to systemic inflammation and certain hormone-driven cancers, mainly cancer of the prostate, the breast, cervical cancer. This has not been disproven yet over 30, 40 years of study that this consumption, because this is basically the Western diet that's been followed through the 40s into the 50s, bacon and eggs. Whole fat dairy is healthy. That's what my grandma told us, right? My grandparents. Well, we know now that there could still be dangers. So I would encourage everyone, but follow your divine intuition when it comes to your diet, your overall well-being, what your divine intuition is telling you about your supplementation. But be aware, and I said that to these two individuals, I said there is another side. And for my part, I respectfully say this supposed new science has not convinced me that a high-fat diet overall is a healthier way to go in mind, body, or spirit. So you know what? But they didn't want to open up the channels to a healthy discussion on this, and they immediately cut me. They cut me off. They blocked me, and they didn't want to discuss it. So I don't think we learn. I don't think we internalize wisdom this way. You know, wisdom is seeing both sides of the... Yes, thank you. I think we need to keep our minds open, because that's how we learn. And whether it be nutritional science, whether it be allopathic medicine, conventional medicine, one thing, and I like, and you've said this many times, it's, you know, research changes from day to day. Literally, yes, day to day, we're learning new things. It was just a research study by a hospital system 2 weeks ago that the utilizations of N-acetylcysteine, which is an amino acid, seems to significantly calm the inflammation in the lungs when it turns to COVID-19. The inflammation in the lungs is significantly reduced by the use of N-acetylcysteine. So, you know, if you know what, this is the kind of information you're not going to find every place, but you will find it through the knowledge of holistic researchers and holistic physicians, holistic counselors like myself and others, who really delve into the cutting edge areas of longevity nutrition. And you know something? We can't put a price on that, because where we go with it from there, that's where we follow our own holistic intuition. But it's good to know. It's good to understand. And I tried to share with these two gentlemen that, you know, this new science thing, let's step back. Let's take a look at the studies on both sides. What if the 40 years of study concerning saturated fat been telling us? Because certain studies that you've seen have validated that quote-unquote fat may be good, it doesn't invalidate other very substantial double-blind studies that indicate that high-fat diets on a regular basis could be bad. So I think it's important to see both sides of the argument.
Plus, we're individuals, too. So what may work for one person may not work for another, and what may work for you today might not work for you tomorrow. That I've learned, that's one of the biggest lessons of diabetes, that diabetes teaches, that you could experiment and find something that'll work, and it'll work perfectly until the day that it doesn't work. And then you have to start from the beginning and question everything because you don't know what it is. So you have to find what it is. You have to modify and then test. Like when I first was diagnosed with diabetes, I could eat peanut butter, you know, so I get the natural organic peanut butter. And whenever I was hungry, I'd have like a couple of tablespoons of peanut butter and it was fine. And then one day I went and had my peanut butter and I got very sick. And I still test it because I used to like peanut butter, but like I tested once or twice a month with a tablespoon. And it every time I get sick. So I get, you know, peanut. Eventually, I'm going to give up testing it. But I enjoyed it so much that I don't want to give it up. Same thing with yogurt. I was getting the best like Greek type of yogurts, and that was good for a while. And then one day the yogurt bothered me, so I had to try other things like kefirs and other types of yogurt, and then it became obvious that no matter what type of yogurt I try, I'm going to have a bad reaction. So, yeah, then I started to figure out how do I get probiotics, and that's still an ongoing quest, but it keeps you on your toes, and I learned from that experience with the high milk, high citrus diet that, you know, anything that seems to be in excess, even if it seems to work, it might have ill effects that you won't see for a while. So I tend to err more on the side of caution now.
Well, that's what's great about the channels of information that you've opened up to all of us, that we can share this information, much of it cutting edge in many ways, and impress upon the listeners the fact that, yes, open up to this information, let it in, then follow your own experimentation, your own holistic wisdom in terms of where you're going to go with it down the road. But the key factor here is that we're introducing the listeners to these different studies that we ourselves are not only implementing in our own personal lives, but that we're researching in terms of what the science is telling us. I know when I share information with clients and with the audience, I like to be as accurate as I can in terms of what the latest independent studies are showing. I'm not going to get on the air here and quote some study by some vitamin company or say, you know, I want the studies to be as firm and solid as they can in terms of the research, independent laboratories, independent university studies, some studies overseas, which are very critical because in some ways they've utilized nutritional therapy way before we have in certain areas of health and well-being. So I like to make sure when I share with the audience this information that I'm coming from a solid area of research.
Right.
I think that's vitally important. And you brought up a key factor. What may work, what I might recommend tonight, what I might be utilizing, may not be working as well for me as it might for one of the listeners.
Right.
So that's the key. It's not that the supplement I'm recommending is not worthy of adding to your program, because the science will be there. But it would be all of our bodies are different. We all respond in different ways. So I might respond more positively to maitake mushroom or IP6 or higher doses of vitamin C than someone else. Vice versa may be the case. So I like the doors of personal experimentation that you have opened in terms of focus. Personal experimentation is important because health and nutrition, it's a landscape that is constantly changing. But one thing we know for sure, when you see an advertisement on TV for a drug that can alleviate psoriatic arthritis, And I'm sure you've seen that. There's a famous golfer who is often endorsing this drug. But along with it comes any number of serious side effects, including the possibility of developing lymphoma and certain other cancers. And, you know, this always brings you to a place of pause when you see this. These drugs may be effective, but the side effects at some point are almost, depending on what you're talking about, are almost double whatever benefit may be obtained from these drugs. So that's why it's always important. All right, what might the natural alternative be? I'll discuss it with my doctor, but what might the natural alternative be in this case? Because most of the time, natural medicine, the side effects are virtually, for the most part, non-existent, or if mild, if anything, as opposed to pharmaceutical therapies. That's just the way it is, and all you have to do to validate that comment is turn on your TV and see any number of pharmaceuticals that are advertised on a regular basis. And, you know, it's interesting, as a sidelight, the FDA will okay these pharmaceuticals, even though there's side effects that can lead to death. And you even see that mentioned on some of these. And yet, when it comes to nutritional supplementation and what the studies have shown, virtually nothing is said. It's incredible. So I bless all of those involved in this field that are opening the eyes of the public to natural alternatives, whether it be antibiotics or what have you.
Yeah, very true. And my frustration with the vitamin, the supplementation field is that it's highly regulated as it should be. So you have to do a lot of asking around to find out which brands are reputable. And right. Although there are agencies now that help, like determine quality to some extent, there's still a lot of questions right. about that I have as I'm learning more about them. Some of them just seems to be, you know, if you pay into it, you'll get like an approval. So that doesn't seem to me to be a very good way of protecting consumers or earning our trust. So I'm still wending my way through that. And some of the supplement companies also, as I research, are kind of like cults. They have like a pyramid structure or an MLM structure. The way that they're run, you know, it's almost like joining a religion. So
I would avoid those at all costs. I would avoid those. I think we recognize them when we see them. And secondly, I would avoid some of these supplements that you see advertised on TV, these propriety blends, especially those that purportedly raise testosterone. I'm sure you've seen them.
Yes.
And make you going to make you a more superior athlete, or make you more active in terms of your sexual performance. I would be very careful. Most of these supplements are not really harmful, but they're also useless, either because there's a lack of purity, or the right supplements, the right ingredients are not really there, and they're not there in the right doses. We can raise certain levels of hormones through supplementation, and that's what I wanted to touch upon tonight when it comes to a human growth hormone. We hear so much in sports and bodybuilding, human growth hormone. Is there a way to safely encourage the body to metabolize some of these hormones, either through natural methods or with the intake of certain supplements? And there is, but I think we have to be careful. So I'd like to touch upon that tonight if I can, because there's so much.
That sounds great. Yes, of course. We have
there's so much debate.
We're through half the show, so there's plenty of time to discuss that.
Okay. So how is growth hormone measured in the blood? It's usually measured not by one blood test. It's usually measured through pulsations. So you have to go through a starvation process first. A fasting process of almost 2 days before any kind of blood test is taken. Then it's taken more than once to decide where you stand in terms of your HGH, the HGH content in the blood. So that's where we are with that. Human growth hormone is also, and this may be a hard You may have seen this pronunciation before. It's somatotrophin. Somatotrophin. You may see that name mentioned, which is the same thing as human growth hormone. And it's a simple protein made up of 191 amino acids. Human growth hormone is released by the pituitary gland, starting in childhood and continuing into old age. The hormone enters the bloodstream in pulses, generally in the early hours of sleep. And on a sidelight to that, and I will be covering this in another program, that's why melatonin has also been shown in independent studies, verified studies, to raise the level of human growth hormone safely and naturally in the blood. So melatonin, again, is a key factor here in our health in terms of sleep. And the more sleep we get, the more human growth hormone is produced in pulses, in a pulsating environment. The hormone moves quickly from the bloodstream to the liver, where it's converted into substances called DGF1 and DGF2. These are also known as growth hormone factors. They will carry HGH's message of growth into other parts of the body. So like many other hormones, HGH is released into the bloodstream in greater quantities when we are young, peaking in our mid-20s, and then beginning to decline from that point on. So by the time we're 60 or so, our bodies have access to only 15 or 20% of the HGH that is used in our youth. So human growth hormone primarily is a function in childhood and to help bones lengthen and bones expand, as an example. It also promotes growth by helping to transport amino acids between the cells, by inducing cells to accept and process amino acids. HGH helps our bodies to use the protein we ingest for cellular repair and regeneration. Other key benefits of HGH are breaking down body fat, synthesizing collagen. And that, I believe, also in type 1 and type 2 collagens, and you may have seen advertisements for those powder supplements lately. I think collagen support is a key factor in human longevity and dealing with certain diseases. And I'm hoping we can touch upon that in our next program.
Sure.
So the sources of HGH is, and this is interesting, back in the 40s and 50s, the only way to obtain HGH for patients was by isolating it from the pituitary glands of cadavers. The production of the drug continued that way for 20 years until it was discovered that a bacteria similar to mad cow disease was infecting the pituitary and HGH. The practice was halted. Interesting to note, the son of an actress, and you may be familiar here because I know you're a fan of B-movies, science fiction and horror, by the name of Susan Cabot. I don't know if you remember her. She played in
a
movie called War of the Satellites. So she was her son, unfortunately, murdered her, beat her to death with a barbell handle, as a matter of fact. And as it turned out, he was being heavily treated with human growth hormone at the time. So the speculation being that it affected his mental process somehow. Cause him to behave in very violent and aggressive ways. 26 people died at that time during the mad cow infection, if you will, of the pituitary gland. 26 people have actually passed away from this. So eventually, by recombining a genetic material from multiple sources, it was discovered that a synthetic form of HGH could be made. However, the risk of this drug, long-term, is unknown. Now, we know bodybuilders are doing it, along with, of course, injectable insulin. And we know that some of the long-term effects are twofold. The high use of insulin has been known to cause diabetes and hypoglycemia. In terms of the HGH, we know that the hearts of certain bodybuilders and athletes actually grow in size and create a deleterious condition in terms of cardiovascular health, if you will. So the use of injectable HGH and insulin are discouraged, rightfully so, by most longevity scientists and health practitioners. However, having said that, there's many in the anti-aging community, anti-aging doctors, if you will, or they claim to be anti-aging doctors, that recommend a course of HGH therapy with the drug that is presently being used. And I would aggressively discourage that practice, because we don't know the long-term implications of health down the road. What we do know is the heart enlarges. The heart, just when they use other type of steroids as well, the same risk is there. The heart muscle itself gets bigger, and it gets bigger in a way that's not healthy. It's not like the when you bodybuild, your heart muscle grows as well, but it grows in a good way. When you're utilizing HGH, insulin, some of these other growth hormones that they're using, it enlarges in an unhealthy way. And I know that some young bodybuilders this past year have recently passed away, and they were using copious amounts of these drugs. So you have to be careful with that too. But some anti-aging doctors are treating patients with this HGH drug in terms of an overall longevity program. And most of the time, the liver becomes enlarged, the heart becomes enlarged. It's not really a wise practice. So I personally, based on my own personal experience and the research that I've examined through various independent laboratories, I would discourage the use of HGH and insulin, even if it's coming from your quote-unquote, your anti-aging physician, because I think, and it's unfortunate to say, this practice is being done most of the time for money. There's money in this.
Yeah, I imagine.
Yeah, and so is there a natural way we can encourage HGH production? There is. The evidence shows that in certain ways of exercising can increase natural production of HGH. There's two ways of
like
doing
squats
it.
Squats and
exactly.
Other compound body movements, yeah.
Absolutely. Ab, you're absolutely correct. That's firstly. Secondly, heavy weights from 6 to 8 reps or heavier weights, depending on each individual, can seem to stimulate natural growth hormone production. The second way is light weights or aerobics, very high intensity but short duration. So HIIT training also seems to increase the production of HGH naturally. So studies have been positive in both approaches. Medium to heavy weights, 6 to 8 reps, and also HIIT training. Lighter weights, higher reps, an aerobic effect, if you will, both with the weights, as we know we can accomplish this, or on a treadmill, but short duration. You don't go for an hour and a half. That seems to also contribute to a natural increase in HGH. So I would probably, for the sake of not risking injury, I would come down. I like the latter approach better. Higher reps, high intensity, short duration. That's just speaking from a personal standpoint, because I can no longer lift what was for me heavier weights. So for me, I think that would be the proper approach. Now, target supplements, and this is what's interesting. There are supplements that can increase HGH naturally and safely. Two of them are arginine and ornithine. Both amino acids have been shown to help to increase in natural HGH production in the blood. Melatonin is another one, and we're going to get into the science of melatonin hopefully in a later program, and I think the listeners may find that very interesting. And the last, not least, is glutamine. Glutamine has also been shown to, first of all, it's very essential for digestive health. That's what studies have shown so far, and can also encourage the pituitary gland to produce HGH. So that along with your antioxidants, because, again, you want a low inflammation environment in your body, which means your antioxidants are essential. And then moving from there, step 2 is utilizing some of these target supplements that we know that can encourage the body to increase, produce HGH naturally. So again, it's good. So I'm already maintaining my health with my antioxidants. I'm keeping my inflammation levels low. Now what can I do? I'm keeping my alkaline levels where they should be. And hopefully in our next segment, we'll talk about the acid-alkaline controversy. What does it mean? Is having an alkaline environment in your body truly healthier? I believe it is. And we can touch upon that in our next program. So target
that
supplements.
That sounds great.
Your target supplements, arginine, orphanine, melatonin, and glutamine. That combined with your basic antioxidant program, I believe you can produce HGH naturally, lift the levels, contribute to a healthy pituitary in the body with that program. So maintaining an alkaline environment, I'm going to be interested to share that hopefully with the audience in our next segment. What is the story there? And I'll be excited to share that in our next segment. So, but that we can, I believe we can produce HGH naturally in the body, but I would discourage the approach of actual utilizing the HGH drug, if you will, to supposedly enhance your anti-aging program. It's dangerous. It doesn't work. In terms of the deleterious effects it has on the body, I definitely discourage it. So if you're seeing a holistic doctor that's recommending anti-aging therapy in terms of HGH injections, I would definitely look the other way.
That's a good thing to know. And actually, as part of my quest for optimal wellness in 2021, that's going to be a factor because I can't get away from the fact that I'm getting older. And this isn't like some people have commented that I'm giving in to negativity. No, it's just that I've been watching my progression through life. And up until my 50s, every decade was more strength, more ability. And then it started to I hit the top of that bell curve in my 50s.
Right.
Since then, I've noticed a loss. So I'm not letting it get me negative and I'm going to do everything I can, like I say during my mission statement, to be as healthy and as strong as I possibly can be. But I can't do what I used to do. I used to be able to, like, leg press over 1,000 on an incline.
My God, that's incredible.
Yeah, I can't do that anymore, you know. So.
Well, I have seen your photos. I've seen some of your recent photos, and you have a very impressive physique. Yeah, absolutely. It's very impressive, and you look like a very powerful man. And I think that ultimately, I'll tell you, I believe, and I have posted a photo of myself. It's an older photo.
Yes, it looks really good.
Well, I wanted to follow it. A photo isn't great, but it does show my arm development, and I want that's. Just for the listeners to see that, you know, I have practiced what I've preached. I've worked because I'm not a powerful man. I've had to train up to the level or down to the level, if you will, of my genetics. Now, some people may say, well, that's negative. No, it's being smart. It's being smart because I suffered injuries in the past, which indicated to me, Michael, there's guys your size, and I'm about 5'5" and a half. I'm a short gentleman, but there's guys that have much bigger bones, much heavier bones, a different kind of genetic predisposition to power. I'm not one of those guys. I want to be stronger, but I'm not one of those guys. So I have had to train. I train with high intensity because I believe endurance is a factor, and sculpting my physique. Because I want crisp, as crisp a definition, crisp separation as I can get from the three heads of the deltoid on downward. So for me, I say I had to train according to my genetics. You know, I'm not going to advise someone to train a super heavy if it's really not there based on their past experience or their genetic predisposition. And so I think we have to train according to the level of our genetic factor, if you will. That's not being negative. I think it's being smart. I've hurt myself quite a bit trying to do what other guys do because I wanted that power. Okay, if they can do it, I can. No, I train according to your genetics. I know when I was training in Gateway Gyms in Bloomfield, and I trained with a lot of guys, good muscular structure, good separation, good definition. Many of them were very strong. But here's what's interesting, and I want to know if you've ever seen this. A guy would come in the gym with his bicycle, skinny guy. He wants to work out. But the guy has such incredible separation, such incredible muscularity, that every head in the gym turned in astonishment. And I noticed this. I said, well, that guy's skinny, yes. But look at that. So what I'm saying is size is great, power is great, but ultimately we're seeking that Greek ideal, that classical ideal. And what is that ideal? I believe along with, yes, size is important, but it's the muscular separation and refinement from one body part to the next. So I know I'll never be a powerful person. I'll never be a very strong man. So I train to sculpt as much as possible. In my later years, those are my goals. I wish I had the strength and power that you have as an example. And I know it must have been considerable and probably still is. But I'm just not genetically predispositioned there. So some may disagree with my point of view, but I think it's just a holistic wisdom at work. My integrated thinking is telling me, Michael, don't try to do that anymore. You know, you've right. tried in the past. All you did was suffer injury. So I train to the level of my genetics, and I'm very happy doing it that way. So I like what you constantly point out, and you're constantly pointing this out in terms of follow your instincts, follow your own research at the end of the day. But yes, by all means, be open to all new information in terms of supplementation, diet, and training.
I'm going to try all your target vitamins. I've already experimented with arginine, I found some research because I wasn't having any results with the arginine that I could tell that said mm-hmm. that some people have difficulty processing the arginine as it is. But if you get citrium malate, it's easier to get the benefits from the arginine because citrium malate is turned into arginine in your body. So I'm
That's
trying that now.
Correct.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm experimenting with that now. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot more time left today, but this is definitely a to be continued. And again, I used to have that power, mm-hmm. but I don't have it. I have neuropathy. And neuropathy affects my my hands and my feet primarily. With the hands, it doesn't really affect me because I still move around, but with the feet, I don't have that stability anymore that I had, and my balance is precarious. So a lot of things
Can
that
I ask
used
you quickly,
to do, I can't do.
Have you tried alpha lipoic acid
and the farnesene? I just ran out of mm-hmm. my bottle of alpha lipoic acid today. I haven't noticed any results from that, so I'm mm-hmm. giving it another bottle's worth to see what happens. And what was the second one you said? I'm sorry.
The carnosine. Remember, we did almost an entire program on carnosine, and it seems to be very effective. Have you integrated that into your program at all?
I stopped. Those were on the things that I stopped to see what the problem could be. So I was doing carnosine and carnitine in addition to the creatine, which I've used for mm-hmm. years on and off. So I knew that I wouldn't have an effect with the creatine. So the carnosine and the carnitine are going to be started next week. I just want to give what I started integrating today some time to work its way in my system so I see if I have a problem with it. But yes, mm-hmm. I started with both of those.
You know what I get excited about as I'm listening to you speak? This research that we're doing, and we're talking about supplements that have been, their benefits have been validated by independent research. We're sharing with the audience some exciting information that I know they themselves, mm-hmm. who may be dealing with some of these conditions, can be a little bit more optimistic in terms of what can I do naturally in terms of healing. So I get excited when we share this information. I'm listening to you share your information, the way you experiment day to day, week to week, because hopefully this will inspire others. All right, what are the non-toxic alternatives that I may want to look into and experiment with? Let me see the studies, let me see what the research is, and then follow their integrated thinking, how they're going to move forward. So I get excited just listening to what you're doing, because it's opening up pathways to I feel new areas of healing and the potential of healing.
I agree with you, and I always look forward to our conversations because I know that I'll learn something new. I know that I'll have something new to experiment with, and that you, like me, you're very focused on this, not only for yourself and for your immediate loved ones, but for the people in our community, in our state, in our planet, and beyond our planet, too, because you have a lot of the same interests in me in UFOs and in celestial beings and so forth. So the conversation continues, and I'm greatly honored. Thanks again, Michael. I'm looking forward to our next conversation, be it on or off the air.
You're welcome, and blessings to everyone.
Same here. Say hi to Karen.
Thank you so much, sir. Hope to hear from you soon.
You definitely will. And thanks to everybody who's joined us from home, whether you listen to us live as we were speaking or whether you plan on visiting later on demand. This is us wishing you joyous journeys, amazing adventures, happy holidays, and a wondrous new year. Take care, everybody.
If you can dream, if you can fly, then your heart can touch the sky, but only if you can dream. If love is true and love is real, pain and sorrow soon will heal, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. If you can dream, then you can be bound by love and yet be free, but only if you can dream. When love and trust are deep and fair, there is nothing your heart won't dare, but only if you can dream. Dream till you wake. Dream till you feel. Dream till you know it. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real. Dream till it's real.